Gregory Tardy, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to see you.
You too. In fact, today I wore my Gregory Tardy hat for this interview.
Oh, and I didn't wear mine.
Maybe it's too many hats. These glasses are glaring. I'm going to lose those. I'm going to get the fashion right before we really get into the music.
I think I'll make it even then. I'll put mine on. How about that?
Oh, excellent. Okay, now I got to get one of those. Well, you're obviously staying busy, right?
Yeah, trying to. There's a lot going on. And of course, with, we're full swing into the semester and it's hybrid. Some of it's online and some of it's in person. And so I'm running around like a chicken with its head cut off and still trying to practice. And I do still have some gigs. So.
And how is it teaching online? I mean, music is so personal, you know, is it hard?
It's requiring a lot more preparation than I feel almost like I'm starting from scratch. Like when I first came to UT 10 years ago. So I'm doing a lot more prep work than I have the last couple of years, but it's good. I feel like, as a result of this, when things get back to normal, my course is going to be a lot more streamlined than it was before. So I feel like it's going to be a benefit to both me and my students.
Yeah. And well, time is zooming by and it can't stand still. And your new record's called If Time Could Stand Still. What were you thinking when you named that? What was the feeling? And did you name it before the pandemic?
Oh yeah. Yeah. All these songs. It was, most of the stuff was written when I was on a tour. I was over in China with, Willie Jones and his band. And it's, and we were there for about 3.5 weeks. And I had beginning sketches of a lot of these songs, but it's, but I wrote this one at a certain point when I was feeling homesick. I had, and thinking about thinking about my, in particular, my son, who's in college now, but thinking about, wow, almost out of time. We spent all these years, raising him, and he's just about out the door, and now he is out the door. And thinking about my daughter getting older as well, and she's a full-fledged teen now. Thinking about time with my parents, you know, who are older, and just thinking, like, I just wish I could make time stand still and just so I could just savor this particular period a little bit longer. But, you know, as we see, time moves on. Right now, I guess we all don't want time to stand still. We want to move forward and get past this crazy year. But that was a much more pleasant time for me.
Yeah. And when you're, you know, listening to these songs now, you know, in light of all that, and in light of sort of like time in a weird way, sort of slowing down in that kind of a weird way, how do you view this record now that you had a little time between the recording of it and the writing of it? How do you look at it now?
Well, I think the main thing is that we really do have to savor. I mean, I know with all this junk going on, it's really kind of hard to think about this, but we all have things in our lives that are precious to us. Like right now I'm thinking about, I'm very happy that I speak with my parents every day, and I see them fairly regularly. And I have, my daughter is here, and we when I'm not running all over the place, we spend a lot of time together. And my wife, I've got a great wife. I've got this is really about family. We really do have to savor these moments, the things in our lives that are good before they become memories, savor the memories before they become memories, so to speak.
Yeah. Sort of like just locking into the present moment.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It's not always so easy to do, you know?
Oh, no. It's much easier to focus on our problems. And if I were to sit and just focus on all the And I this is a reminder to myself, actually. If I just sit and focus on all the negative things that are happening today, then I don't focus on this particular period with my family, or just sitting around being thankful for, you know, like the time I'm having. You know, I really do enjoy teaching my students, and I enjoy that I still have an active playing career, although it's very, I'm not doing much right now because of all this, but I still do play, and I you know, I have just really, really savoring this time period. So,
well, you know, and one of the things for me, like I would not wish a pandemic on anybody or any place, but I have, as strange as it may sound, I've had more time to really listen. Whether it's I'm outdoors and listening to the birds, or when a record comes in, because I'm not rushing to and fro. Like when your record came in, I was able to just to sit down and listen to it twice, you know, which I probably wouldn't have been able to do a year ago. You know, I'd probably listen to it once and pick my favorite songs for the radio show and then come back to it and listen again later. But I was just like, right off the bat, I listened to it twice. And I got to say, it's one of my favorite of your recordings. And I tried to analyze why. You know, sometimes I don't know, it just, I just like it. But I just really like this lineup. I really like Keith Brown in there, for example. That's a whole different flavor. What about this lineup for you works?
Well, you know, of course, Keith and I, we've had a relationship over the last 10 years, and it's he actually started off as my student, you know, like he was my first year at UT, and he was in his, he was just finishing out his master's degree, and so I started off teaching him. Then after that, then we did a lot of stuff in various variations of Vance Thompson's groups and some of my own gigs. And eventually I used him on my Standards and More CD, and which he did a tremendous job on that. And then, you know, since he's moved to New York, we've all missed him. And when I was trying to decide who I was going to use on piano, he just, you know, once again, I was just like, well, you know, Keith and I haven't done anything in a while. It'd be great to do something with him again. And so that's that. Now, Alex Norris, who's the phenomenal trumpeter on the project, Alex and I go all the way back to 1994. He actually used to play in some early renditions of my band back in New York, and then our paths kind of went different ways. And then I'd say in the last 4 or 5 years, we started playing together again, in most notably in the Todd Marcus Orchestra, which is a group based out of Baltimore, with this, you know, phenomenal bass clarinetist Todd Marcus, and it's kind of like rekindled our friendship and as well as our musical relationship. And so he played on my CD Chasing After the Wind, and he did a remarkable job on that one, and he did a remarkable job on this one as well. And my only regret is I wish I could have had him on for more of it. Alex Claffey, he was on the tour when I wrote all this stuff. He was on the that's how I met him, through when I was out with Willie. And so that's how he wound up becoming the basis for this. And Willie Jones, we've played together since, I can't remember when we first started playing together, maybe around 1999 or something like that. And usually it's been in the context of one of his bands or someone else's band. He asked me, this is his label, and he asked me to do something. And it's one of those things where I just thought it's like a really, really great opportunity for me to finally hear him on some of my music, because I've always loved his playing. And so it worked out great.
Yeah. One of my favorite tracks is Absolute Truth. What can you tell me about that one?
Well, I'd say the title kind of comes from this whole concept of I don't know. I mean, I don't really believe that, like some people will say that all truth is relative. And I remember like one famous line in Star Wars is only a Sith believes in absolutes. And to which Anakin Skywalker, he should have replied, is that an absolute statement? and it's, I mean, but of course he was a bad guy, so he wasn't, whatever, that's, I'm going on a tangent. But I guess what it is that there's some truths that can be looked at as relative, and there's some truths that are just absolute. And that's, so I was kind of musing on that, and that's where the title comes from. But as far as the musical thing, it's a blues, and it's, obviously it's a blues, and I was, and it was one of those, I do a lot of experimentations with like mixing of like funk and hip hop type of aspects with jazz straight ahead. And whereas some people will do that, it'll wind up sounding more like hip hop or funk than jazz. My stuff winds up sounding more like jazz with just some hip hop or funk flavors, because I do, for at this present point in my career, I am trying to keep it within that context, which is, I'm not saying that I'm not trying to say everyone should do it that way. That's just the way I do it. So that's stylistically where that one comes from. Thank you.
You know, on your website, you know, there are several quotes about what you do, and it's always they almost always mention the blues, like your understanding of blues music, but also your embracing of being able to get out there, or however you want to. Some people say avant-garde or whatever it is. I don't know how I'd describe it, but how do you balance those two?
Quite frankly, I don't think I do very well. I haven't done anything on an avant-garde type of territory in a minute. I like to, it's kind of funny, I was talking with Sean Conley just last week and talking about how I wanted to go that direction again at some point. I have some other things on the table first I want to get to before that, but I'd say that I haven't really done something seriously avant-garde since the Timelines Andrew Hill CD. I've had traces of it and traces, like a tune here and there on some of my CDs, but I have a lot of things I want to do in the future, and one of the many things I'd like to do is a trio with Sean and Jameo, where we're getting into some things that are a little bit more eclectic. You know, God willing, if I'm doing this long enough, we'll get there eventually, but I have some other things on the table that I want to do as well. So
I think my favorite track on the record is the opener, A Great Cloud of Witnesses.
Okay. It's, I'll talk about it musically first. It's, musically, I was, one of the various ways I like to write is I like to work off drums a lot. And this particular song, I was checking out some drummers from Burundi. I was doing some random internet searches on drummers, on African drummers, and I got caught up with these drummers from Burundi. And so I just, you know, decided I wanted to write a song off of the rhythms I was hearing. So I wrote down various rhythms that I was hearing them do. And I basically wrote out all the, I wrote all the rhythms first, and then I assigned notes to them and chords to them. And so that's, and so what you're hearing when you hear that is actually kind of like a melodic and harmonic transcription of a Burundi drum section. And so that's where that musically where that comes from. And I'd say that the title comes from that's actually a quote from the book of Hebrews in scripture. And it's about how we can be inspired, you know, by the faith of people in the past who've had to persevere, you know, through trials and because they persevered, they were able to experience the faithfulness of a real God. And that's where that comes from.
That one, it's one of my favorite things you've ever recorded, and I love Keith's playing on, and Willie, everybody's playing on it is great. Did you have the same feeling, like, you know, when you cut the end of the recording and went, we nailed it, or are you more picky than that?
Well, I'm very picky, you know, I'm very, very picky, and people that have recorded with me know that if I had my way, I would have 10 days in the studio and I would just keep, and I would like, I'd probably do one tune a day, you know, until I got like every little aspect of it. But there was a good feeling in this take. And so that's the one that wound up making the recording. One of the things that's really hard about, is when you get a group that doesn't play together all the time. And then all of a sudden I throw all this music, and some of my music has been accused of being difficult and it's by many people. And so basically for people that haven't played the music before to have to sit and decipher this stuff. And then, you know, without much rehearsal, and then go in and then play on a CD and try to sound like they've known it for a million years. That's always a real challenge, and it's a real testament of how high level these musicians are.
Yeah. Well, I loved it, you know, and that's the great thing about being a listener is that, you're able to not know in a way, you know, like that the artist, whatever, is like, I could have used another five takes, or I would have liked another go on the sax solo or whatever. We don't know. We don't know that. And so to me, it sounded like just this.
Yeah, it was a special moment. You know, the thing about like me is that I'm super, super, and my wife, you know, you can ask her when you run into her, I'm about the most, most of the time it's about me. I'm very rarely satisfied with what I do. It's very rare that that you'll hear me talk about one of my CDs and be like, hey, I really nailed that. I was killing on that. And it's not like a false humility or anything. It's just that I very rarely can get off the things I'm thinking about for one reason or another. And so, which is one of the reasons why I like to do take after take after take, because it's something that I'm searching for, and and sometimes it'll get there, you know, sometimes it'll get there.
Yeah. But,
Well, that actually makes me feel good, because I kind of feel that way about everything, you know, to a degree, like cooking, like, you know, I'll spend all evening making something and I'll get it and go, if I just would have put more tomato and garlic in this, it would, you know, I can't help it. But again, that's like, you know, like what we go back to earlier is like focusing on the present moment and not seeing what's lacking. And how do you resolve all that? Because you care deeply about what you're doing. How do you resolve that feeling of like, I didn't quite get it?
Well, one thing that I just thought about as you were saying that is there was a time back in like 2008 where I had to take a good chunk of time off because I had some surgeries that made it impossible for me to play for a minute. And with that big chunk of time not playing the saxophone and not really being around, I wasn't around jazz much. I would go back and listen to my CDs and for the first time I actually could enjoy some of them, because I was like, you know what, that actually, you know, because I was able to listen as if I was listening to someone else other than myself. And that was the time where I was like, wow, that actually, I kind of dig that. That's because I wasn't sitting there trying to analyze every single note that I was playing. I was just like checking it out. And so it's just a reminder to me once again, I'm speaking to myself, to just enjoy the moment, you know, enjoy the moment while it's here, you know, before it becomes a memory.
All right. Well, I'll see you around, I hope, and be safe and take care.
Yeah. Thanks, Todd. You too. God bless.
This is Improvisations. I'm Todd Steve. We've been talking with Greg Tardy. His new recording, If Time Could Stand Still, such a deep, rich listening experience. When we come back, more great music.